I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. At 2:30, yes, this is another weekend in Karen Bass and George Gascon's Los Angeles. We're going to talk with a woman, Ali Zacharias. She had her French bulldog, Onyx, stolen right in front of her. They threw Onyx in a car, and Ali jumped on the car's hood, holding onto the windshield wipers, and the car took off with her sprawled on the hood. And she survived that. At last report, the dog is still missing. And we're going to talk with Ali. This is what life is like.
Downtown. Did you see that video?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's...
She's lucky to be alive.
I know. It's the scariest thing. I don't know what it's like being on the hood of a car like that, holding onto windshield wipers. Another event over the weekend was... quite a few street takeovers in South Los Angeles and in Compton, and that ended up with a couple of dozen arrests, citations, vehicles get impounded, a few people were shot along the way. Steve Gregory.
Just another weekend in L.A.
That's right. Steve Gregory has the scoreboard here.
So let's take it to early Sunday morning when at least 30 cars took over a big chunk of the 6th Street Bridge. Remember for a while there, it was real quiet down there. When it first opened,
yeah,
everyone was doing street takeovers down there. And then they had to go in and put bollards in there and prevent people from, you know, driving all over the place up there. So, I mean, they, of course, you know, we can't have any pretty things or nice things anymore. So they had to try to make that takeover proof. Well, that didn't work out too well. So early Sunday morning, about 30 cars blocked a big area in Boyle Heights there on the 6th Street Bridge. And officers got on scene. They ended up impounding 15 vehicles and handing out 150 citations. That's a lot of people.
Right. 150 citations?
Yeah.
And what were the citations for? I mean, they didn't have 150 cars there,
no,
did they?
No, no, no. I mean, because watching and participating is also illegal.
Watching?
Yeah. Yeah, that's an illegal gathering.
Oh,
it's like cockfighting, like in cockfighting. when they get, because you got all these big cockfighting task forces out there.
Yeah.
If you attend, you can get arrested too.
I didn't know that.
Because it's an illegal act, an illegal event. And you could get yourself
just for witnessing it.
Yeah, because you know you're a willing participant in an illegal act.
I see.
Yeah. So in
I'm just thinking of all the flaws they don't enforce.
I know.
They enforce that. Okay.
It's really weird. But this is dangerous. These street takeovers have turned deadly. We know people have been killed during these street takeovers. And as you mentioned, coming up next after that, in the evening of yesterday, there were four people shot in a takeover in the area of Alondra Boulevard and Central Avenue in the city of Compton, near Compton. Now, there have been no arrests reported, but all four were taken to a hospital with unknown injuries. And, you know, a lot of times these takeovers sometimes are races against rival gangs or rival car clubs. So there's an element of competition in this, which also escalates people's tensions and sort of moods, mm-hmm. which can turn violent. And then later last night, finally, there were five separate takeovers near Century Boulevard and Western Avenue in Los Angeles. And at the end, there were 24 people arrested, 15 citations issued, and 14 vehicles impounded.
Is this some kind of tournament?
The thing is that it was all spread out, and usually these things are very coordinated through social media, through
right.
special car club sites or special channels that they...
Do the police get much wind of, since it's on yeah. social media?
Yeah.
Are they able to stop it early, or...?
Well, they try, and the thing is that what they do is they can't... They're kind of riding this fine line, because they can't go out there and stop three or four cars from driving down the street and slowing down... Mm. You know, it's impeding traffic is, you know, that's one thing. When there's an official gathering, then they can take action when they determine that it's an illegal action, when it's officially a takeover of sorts. But there are both the LA County Sheriff's Department, because they were the Sheriff's Department was involved in the one that had the four shootings, and then the LAPD on the other two. But both agencies have very robust social media monitoring and intel gathering people that are sitting there looking at this, and a lot of them have been able to crack the code to watch. Now, I went on a task force at LAPD a couple of years ago, I think it was, out here in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, and I sat with them, and we literally were in an elevated position in a parking lot overlooking where all the cars were gathering in a Denny's parking lot down below.
Oh, you could see it coming.
We could see them all gathering,
yeah.
and then we followed them out onto the freeway, onto the, I think it was the 5 freeway, and then they went onto the 118. As soon as they got on the 118, they started pulling their stunts, and then all these undercover cars just flipped their lights on and surrounded them.
All right, now some of the cars got impounded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they going to keep the cars?
Well,
or because I think they got to start confiscating permanently these cars, and then these guys will be discouraged.
A lot of it will have to do with what kind of condition the cars are in, because if they end up having some illegal aftermarket enhancements, that'll be one thing. They'll either take all that off the vehicle and strip it and give it back to the owner. But then if they have multiple violations or multiple citations on their record, they could indefinitely impound that vehicle until all the citations or jail time or whatever has been achieved.
All right. Does anybody get jail for this?
When there's usually an injury or a death involved, because right. then it escalates to manslaughter.
Okay, but for just a weekend?
No,
all misdemeanors, and yeah. there's no jail time for misdemeanors in LA County.
No. So, and that's another reason. It's sort of, it's catch and release.
It's catch and release.
Yeah.
And if they've got, what, a few $100, they can get their car out of the pound?
Sure. Yeah, in most cases. But see, a lot of aggressive lawmakers have been trying, let me rephrase that, a lot of lawmakers have been trying to enact very aggressive legislation to permanently impound vehicles in some cases, or impound them for a year, take away licenses for a year. Stern was a big proponent of that. And I know was the Assemblyman Stern or State Senator Stern?
Yeah, well, I mean, but none of this has gone through. It probably dies in the public safety committee.
No, it's in progress. A lot
it's
of
in
these
progress?
Are still in progress. Yeah,
because yeah, because that 6th Street situation, that's been going on years now.
What I'm afraid that's going to happen is they're going to turn that into a pedestrian bridge. Because, I mean, the thing is they had to redo it, retrofit it for earthquake, and you know, it had been aging, and it's one of the oldest bridges in the city.
But this stuff's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's in the Valley, I know. It's on Sunset Boulevard on the west side. They had one not far from UCLA in Bel Air.
The thing is, you know, when they spread out and these are coordinated efforts like this, they spread out all over town. It's hard to deploy resources on these kinds of things simultaneously on a maybe.
Right.
If you had hard intel that this was going to happen, that's one thing. But when it's a maybe situation, you can't justify deploying tons of resources like this unless you have a really good sense.
I just think the penalties ought to be really harsh, and it's just too much trouble to go through for the competitors.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I think one lawmaker at one point even had floated the idea to go after the parents if they were juveniles.
Yeah.
Or if they were, you know, if they were still living at home or they were juveniles, 16 to 18 or whatever the case was, they were going to go after the parents too. But I don't think that'll ever go anywhere.
All right, Steve. Very good. Thank you for coming on. Steve Gregory, KFI News, on the street takeovers. There were a lot of them over the weekend in South LA and Compton, and there was all kinds of mayhem, a lot of arrests, a lot of citations, impounded vehicles, a few people get shot. Just another day in George Gascon's paradise. Oh, speaking of, we have John Hatami coming on in the 3 o'clock hour. He'll be in studio. Hatami, one of the leading candidates to succeed George Gascon, replace him as L.A. County District Attorney. There's just too much mayhem going on because Gascon does not prosecute anybody for anything anymore. I think we all agree on that, right? I mean, I got to think you vote for Gascon. You really just want to destroy civilization in L.A. There's not one rational argument for Gascon.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2:30, Steve's right. You should get a chance. Quickly look at the video online of Ali Zacharias. She's a woman who is downtown. And she was with her dog, Onyx, a French bulldog. French bulldogs are getting kidnapped in the streets. Remember, Lady Gaga's dog walker had the two, and that dog walker got shot.
So many of these Frenchies are being kidnapped. Dognapped, I should say.
Dognapped. Anyway, she, and I sent this to you early in the morning because I thought of you right away that you would do this.
I would, 100%.
Allie jumped on the hood of the fleeing car with the dog inside and hung on by the windshield wipers.
Yes, she did.
Until the car shook her off and she rolled off into the street. Well, she didn't get badly hurt, and Ali Zacharias will be on with us coming up after Deborah's 2:30 news.
How dare you take her dog or anybody's dog?
I see the photo of the dog?
Yes.
So cute. I mean, she, you know, well, I'll let her tell the whole story, but she got victimized a second time after it became public that Onyx had been stolen. And what do they do with these dogs? They sell them,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So the dog is probably alive, but has been resold somewhere.
Go get your own dog.
They're expensive.
Then go to a pound and get a shelter dog.
In George Gascon and Karen Bass's Los Angeles, you can get a French bulldog for free, and there'll be no punishments. Now, also thought of you this morning. Another game I play. I wake up in the morning. It's like, can I find material to scare Deborah somewhere during the show? So we've been covering every day the Alaska Airlines plane that blew off the door plug, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're almost certain now that the plane left the Boeing factory without the bolts necessary to hold the door plug on.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that when you sent that. Okay, somebody's head better roll over that.
Yes. The employees opened up or removed the door during production and then put it back on. I guess the door was installed, then for some reason they uninstalled it, put it back on, forgot the bolts.
You cannot forget something like that. This is not just a normal job. I mean, come on.
I don't know. Looks okay.
Ooh, I think I forgot something. I don't remember what it was. Hey, oh, well.
You got four bolts in your hand. What were these for? It says it's increasingly likely that was the scenario, according to some of the insiders who are talking to the Wall Street Journal. They had the exclusive. And there apparently is no markings on the Alaska door plug that would suggest the bolts were in place when it blew off the jet. So I guess common sense is if the door blows off from the jet, there ought to be some scars from the bolts being ripped from the fuselage. They also said there were paperwork and process lapses at the factory related to the company's work on the door plug. Now, I'd read in a separate story that there are two channels where it gets certified, where the work gets inspected and certified, and I guess there was some confusion there. They're going to conduct more analysis because they're doing lab tests, and they might show definitively whether the bolts were in place or not. They never found the bolts, and they don't know how many people are involved in the work on the door plug. Spirit AeroSystems is the supplier for some of the parts to Boeing, and they delivered the fuselage to the factory with the door plug installed. The door plug was constructed in Spirit's Malaysian factory. So the door plug comes from Malaysia. The fuselage is assembled in Wichita. They ship it to Boeing, where they do further work. They take the door plug off, put it back on. Somebody in Washington doesn't check, or probably several people. They're doing a Senate investigation. And apparently there's a lack of documentation. There's a U.S. Senator, Tammy Duckworth, and she met with the chief executive, David Calhoun, and said there's a lack of documentation when it comes to how and when these bolts were installed or removed and whether or not they were reinstalled. And he assured me they were going through the entire process. See, the system is set up to have multiple checkpoints, so it makes it impossible to happen. And they've discovered other loose hardware on some of the MAX 9 jets. MAX 9s are only used by United and Alaska. So as far as I know, if you want to really make sure you don't accidentally get on a MAX 9, if you can, take one of the other airlines.
But I wonder how many other problems could be found on other planes that are not MAX 9.
Well, sure. You just have to wait till the plane blows up.
I think we need an overhaul of the whole system.
This is what you get when you have a monopoly. Boeing does not have a U.S. competitor.
Well, I think that should change.
Yes, that should change. We need another airplane company. It's not like opening up a taco stand.
I know, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, I know. Isn't it terrifying?
Yes.
Well, what's terrifying is it wasn't explained where it was obvious, oh, that was just a one shot. That was a weird fluke. This looks like the first hint of a systemic problem in the way they do their day-to-day work at Boeing. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ali Zacharias. What a scary thing happened to her. She ended up clinging to the hood of a getaway car that had her stolen French bulldog inside. Onyx was taken from her, and she tried to stop the thieves by jumping on the hood of the car, holding onto the windshield wipers, and she got taken for a ride. More coming up. We'll talk with Ali.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand, the podcast. And you could listen to whatever you miss. We're going to continue with Ali Zacharias now. Ali Zacharias has a really cute French bulldog named Onyx, and it was dog-napped the other day, and she jumped on the getaway car on the hood and was taken for a ride by the kidnappers. Somebody at an intersection in downtown L.A. Recorded the moment that the car was flying through an intersection, and there she is, holding on to the windshield wipers, spread out on the hood, lying on her left side, her hair flapping in the wind. She eventually got dumped off the car, not too badly hurt. As far as I know, the dog is still unaccounted for. Let's get Ali Zacharias on. Ali, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Any word on the dog?
No, that's the worst part. There's no word on the dog.
These French bulldogs are really valuable. I mean, the first I heard of them was when Lady Gaga's dog walker got shot over the two French bulldogs that he was walking. So there's like a crazy market for these.
Yeah, that I think Lady Gaga really put this whole situation on the map. You know, I was thinking about starting a foundation saying, don't take my dog.
Yeah.
My dog foundation.
Or how did they take it? What were the circumstances?
I was sitting at Whole Foods having lunch, feeding him meatballs and enjoying spoiling him. When he started to pull, he was pulling his leash like under the table. I thought he wanted to go smell something. And he was pulling so hard, I like let go for a second. And when I looked up, there was a woman picking him up and holding him and walking away with him. And I was shocked. I was in shock. So I didn't know exactly what to do. I thought it was a misunderstanding. I wasn't, even though everybody's warned me that these things are stolen and this would happen, when it happens to you, like I just wasn't in the right mindset. I just didn't imagine that was really happening.
So she pulled it out, right? She pulled it out right from under you, under the table.
Yes. Right from me, like literally ripped the baby off its mother's teeth.
started walking down to the car.
Just like did it like a spin around move to go right into the car behind her. Yeah.
Was she young, old?
What? It was there. Everyone in the, so when I followed her to the car and I kind of followed her in. And when I went in there, I was shocked to see that there was 4 big people in the car. They were all like a little heavy. There was really like 4 big people in there. 3 women. She was a woman and there were 3 women and 1 man. They were all, light-skinned African-American, no tattoos, no hair color, no distinctive jewelry, no nails. Like, I mean, it was just very, like, plain, down-to-earth, T-shirts and sweatpants. And that was as much as I can recall from the situation.
Did you say anything to them?
You know, I don't think anybody's asked me that yet. I don't know. I wasn't really speaking to them. I was just sort of, like, going for my dog, and we all knew that we were fighting for it. It was weird.
So there was a little tug of war for the dog there?
I was reaching for him, but like she passed him over to another woman next to her. And then like, I was kind of boxed out and then she boxed me out of the car. So I got pushed out and then she jumped in and closed the door and locked it. And then I was like, what? It was like, almost like a comical moment. It was like, oh, now I'm locked out. And I was in shock that I was locked out away from my dog. So I ran in front of the car and thought that was enough to hold it back. And I put my hands out and I said, stop, do not drive anywhere. Do not go anywhere with my dog. And they didn't care. They drove right into me. And that pushed, that propelled me up onto the hood.
Oh, they actually hit you.
Yeah.
Oh, they hit you. And that's how you ended up on the hood.
Yeah. To which I held on. I wasn't. Yeah.
By,
exactly.
By the wipers.
I held on by the wipers. That was the only grip I could find.
And
it
then
was really difficult to find a grip or anywhere to hold on. I think at one point I even tried to like bang the windshield in, but it was so hard. It was like, I didn't try again. I was like, there's no way I'm going to break that.
How many blocks did they carry you on the hood?
It was about two long blocks, which felt like 10 miles, but it was two blocks.
And they were going pretty fast. It looks like they were flying through the intersection.
They picked up speed. That's when I started. You can hear me yell. Oh my God. I really got scared. I saw the asphalt beneath me and I stopped thinking about the dog for a minute. And I started just thinking about my own life because I really was horrified on the hood of a car going that fast. It was scary. And I thought I was going to die. I just really said like, this is it. Cause I don't know what to do. You know, I was too crazy to stay on this hood, and now here I am on this hood at 40 miles an hour.
What happened that you rolled off?
I think that they might have slowed down, because otherwise I wouldn't have been okay, right? So they must have slowed down a little bit, and then they swerved, and I did fall off and roll. I got asphalt burn, you know, in a few spots, but nothing major.
You didn't hit your head. I mean, that would have been...
I mean, I hit my head, but not like they must have slowed down because none of it was, nothing like nothing cracked or, you know, nothing like that. It was, just, I bumped my head, you know?
Yeah. And they took off and left you on the road.
They took off and left me on the road, and I stood up and I was whimpering and I felt defeated and I felt so confused and I felt so sad. My dog was gone and I sort of ran after them for a second to try and like get a picture of the license plate, but they were too far up ahead and I couldn't get anything. And then the cops pulled up and they said, people have been calling us. What's going on? And I said, go get that white car. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know anything. And they were like, what are they wearing? I couldn't remember that. I couldn't remember anything. And I'm just like, just go get it. And then obviously they came back empty handed because I gave them no instructions. And, yeah.
It's a white Kia Forte.
And then when I got back, this Jehovah's Witness came up to me and said, I'm so sorry. This is so awful. And I was like, not in the mood to talk. I said, I know. And he said, well, I got a picture of the car for you. And I was like, what? Thank God. I was so happy. And so, yeah, that's how we learned it was a Kia Forte. Exactly. A white Kia Forte, early 2000s. It's missing a back hubcap on the driver's side. And it has thick, not so well done tinting, and it had its license plate whited out. They had whited out their license plate because I guess they knew they were going to be doing a getaway.
Was this targeted? Were they following you, or do you think this was random? They just happened to be where you were at Whole Foods.
I don't think they were following me for a while, but I think they planned it before they did it. You know what I mean? Like I think they had like 10 minutes, let's say, to plan it. I think that they probably whited out their plate and then pulled over and said, let's go get that dog. I mean, it's hard to know what went through their brains. I don't know who would drive into a person.
They must be looking, driving around looking for French bulldogs.
Do you think that they were doing that for all the dogs? I mean, I hope if we find them, we find all the, you know, we can save other dogs. I don't know. Like, I just don't know what their intentions are. It's hard to decide. You just have to decide, are they trying to breed him? Are they trying to just sell him? Is it a quick flip? Or is it like a thought out, you know, plan?
Does your dog have any medical conditions that you need to worry about?
You know, it's funny. I wish I had yelled, like, he has medical conditions. Like, don't take him. I kept thinking that was the only thing I could think of. Like, I wish I had yelled.
Yeah, they wouldn't have cared, though.
But he doesn't. He's okay. He doesn't have them. He was pretty healthy. He's 1 year old. He turned one in October. And
now you got scammed. Since then,
and
over the dog.
Since then, yes. There was a quiet week. And not much happened because it was just a lost dog, and we just had this one picture of the plates, you know, in the car. And it wasn't until 2 days ago in the morning when I saw the Instagram video, and we sent it to KTLA first, and they did a story that everything changed. Now suddenly there was this video and everybody, you know, there was suddenly millions of views and we've gotten so much, you know, press and attention that like it's changed the whole search. It's like gotten, it's just wild how it just changed everything. And now hopefully, you know, we've reached a big audience and I can't imagine them being able to sell him anywhere. You know, it'd be really silly if they were able to sell him to somebody that didn't see all this.
It's a really cute dog. So, but anyway, you got a call from somebody claiming they had some kind of lead on the dog.
They said that he was I'm the brother of the driver, and I've been living with this dog all week, and I just saw this on the news, and I can't believe it's a stolen dog. He told me he bought it, and we went, no, it's our dog. It's stolen. And he said, well, I've got it. I've got the dog right here. We said, oh, great. He says, let me just get ready. I'll come meet you. You want to come meet me at the CVS in Gardena? We said, perfect. He said, I just need gas money.
And so what, you gave him the gas money?
Yeah, so we're thinking emotionally right now. And we just sent him $50 for gas money, and of course he disappeared.
He just took off with the 50.
He didn't take. He didn't take off. He was on the phone. I mean, he just disappeared. He never showed up.
Oh, can we trace his number? Let's find this guy.
Man.
And then we called the number and it said disconnected from the same number. But then he did. But then we decided to like play him a little bit. So we said, wait a minute, we still wanted to give you reward money. So, you know, make sure you answer. We have like thousands of dollars for you. And so then he's like, he texts back something, you know, I think he wasn't sure if we were playing him or not, you know. So,
yeah. Wow. If somebody sees the car or the dog, how can they help? Who do they contact?
That's so nice of you to ask. Well, we have a flyer out with a phone number on it, 626-264-7923. And that would be directly to me and Louie, who own the dog. And I guess other than that, if you don't remember that number, please just take him to any police station or any animal shelter, you know?
Yeah. Can you give the number again?
Sure.
Because people didn't know it was coming, so go ahead.
Sure. If you see anything and you can give us a clue, we would love to hear any sort of sighting would be amazing, especially at this point. The sightings we've heard have been about a week old, so we're really anxious to hear like another sighting of him. Our number is 626-264-7923, and they live in Gardena, we're pretty sure.
Okay.
So,
well, Allie, let's keep in touch, all right? And
thank you so much.
Good
it really
luck.
Helps. It's great to get out on the radio where everybody listens. It's so great. That's where I always
all
hear
right.
everything.
Well, if somebody knows something and we hear about it, we'll tell you. And if you get any
thank
movement,
you so
let
much.
Us know. All right, Allie
thank
Zacharias.
You, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're going to talk with John Hatami in studio. John, one of the leading candidates for George Gascon's district attorney's seat. And we will discuss with him the current state of the campaign. Also, a little bit about a bizarre situation in Beverly Hills. There's a mansion that's been seized from a crooked doctor. Well, actually, he's more than crooked. This doctor was accused of hiring a hit woman to kill his model girlfriend. There's also some kind of insurance scam. Anyway, the property was seized. It's being handled by the state. Gascon's office is waiting on a sale so they could get the money and use it to pay off restitution to some of this doctor's victims. I don't know if you followed all that, but in any event, the squatters have taken over. Squatters have taken over, and it's party night every night. The squatters are earning $30,000 a month renting rooms and hosting these huge parties. They're charging $100 to enter, and nobody can do anything about it. This is in a ritzy section of Beverly Hills on Beverly Grove. We'll talk more coming up. Hatami, I think, has some information or opinions on that as well. Do you believe that poor woman?
No. I would have done exactly what she did.
Jump on a car.
I would have been screaming. I would have been yelling. I would have been pounding. I mean, everything that she did.
Yeah. If you didn't hear, we had a woman on this. You ought to go to the our podcast for later. And she had her French bulldog stolen right from under her. She's eating lunch at a table at Whole Foods.
I don't understand. Are these creeps just following people that have these French bulldogs?
Yeah.
That's why I asked her that question. If she was targeted, what did they happen to? They happen to know that she has a French bulldog and they're following her and they're just waiting for that perfect time to snatch it?
I think it's like the thieves who drive around. They look at people dining at expensive restaurants and they see
they have the big Rolexes or whatever.
Or an expensive handbag. And now it's a French bulldog. It, I guess is as valuable as a Rolex. I don't know what the prices are on that.
Oh, they are.
Are they really?
Absolutely. And I feel so bad for the dog because you know these guys aren't going to care for the dog, right?
Mm, the dog's terrified.
The dog's terrified.
But she jumped on the hood and they took off the getaway car 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, they didn't even stop.
Ray?
Yeah, and I have this really expensive Pomeranian. He's 6 pounds.
He's very cute.
He's a fluff ball. He looks like a little cotton ball.
Oh, you brought him in here, I say.
Yeah, I brought him in here. It looks like a Kardashian dog.
That's so you, Ray.
Yeah. You know, I'm always afraid of taking this guy out because he's going to get stolen from me. Some idiot's going to come and recognize the fact that he's a very cute dog.
Yeah.
And he's full bred, okay?
Yeah.
And they're going to take him from me. And I'm always worried about that. I take him wherever because I can't leave without him. He has to go with me everywhere. I have hair like all over me.
And
Ray, from this little Pomeranian.
Ray, when I said to you, what would you do if somebody tried to take Rocco? What was your answer?
Oh, I'd shoot him.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, that's more effective than jumping on the hood of a car.
Yeah. You mess with me, you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horns. You know, I'm not going to hang on to it. I'm shooting first.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll explain my way out of it later. You know, I got friends like John Hatami.
Sure.
And, you know, and all these DA guys that want to come on the air. Come on, I can get some help.
You want to wait till Gascon gets out of office.
Yeah, my next DUI, I'm going to cash in some chips. Let me tell you.
Yeah, any of us get nailed in the next year, we're gone. Gascon's got the death penalty.
Oh, I'm surprised he doesn't have people on us.
I thought about that.
Yeah, like a True Detective type show where I'm going to get pulled over and there's going to be like a 8-ball cocaine, in my trunk that the cops are going to find.
Hey, Ray, no offense. Rocco is very cute, but I don't think people are stealing Pomeranians.
Well, maybe not.
Right? Is it an expensive dog?
Yeah, he's a very expensive dog, and they're hard to find because Pomeranians, they're so small, and they only have one per litter.
You're saying Ray's dog is not worth stealing?
Well,
I'm just saying
he's very cute.
He is.
But we're always talking about these Frenchies. We're not talking about these little 6-pound Pomeranians.
Rocco is cuter than your dogs combined.
Are you kidding me, Ray?
Let's do it. Let's do this.
Okay.
Right?
Let's have a showdown on.
Oh, you're going to lose.
All right.
Right, Eric?
Yeah. You two send me a picture each of your dogs. I will post them on the John Cobalt Radio Show Twitter and Instagram, and
let's
we will do a
do
poll.
It.
Should. All right.
We will do an audience poll of who's. Yeah.
I'm gonna win. There's no doubt about it. Let me tell you.
He better not win.
The only bad thing about Rocco is he got fixed. Yeah, he's peeing and pooping in
and
the house.
And you thanked me for that, Ray.
And he was humping everything too.
Yeah, Ray. Okay.
Yeah, they get
the
fixed, but they don't lose their desire. I don't know how that works.
Ray was so offended. Remember, a long time ago, I said you gotta get your dog fixed, and he said, "No dog of mine. We're not gonna do this to my dog." And then he said, "You know what? Yeah, Deb, you were right."
He kind of looks like a sissy anyways. I mean,
Well, yeah, you got him looking like a little teddy bear, but that's just how cute he is.
He's cute. Little 6-pound little guy.
All right.
He's cuter than your dogs, I'm telling you.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah,
let the listeners, let them decide, right?
John and Tommy's coming in the studio, or he might have decided to go home by now. he's next. He's running for L.A. County DA against Gascon. And Deborah Mark is live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom. Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.